Chapter 4 tonight, Proverbs chapter 4. I don't plan on being too long tonight. Just going to jump into what God has for us. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 through 22. Verses 20 through 22. And we may be in verse 23 all next week. It's just one of them verses. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 through 22. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Let's pray. Lord, as we come before you this evening, we want to thank you once again for the opportunity that we have to gather here in your house. I thank you, Lord, for your people that have gathered here, and I ask you, Lord, to use me to give the message that you've given me to deliver this evening. And I just ask you, Lord, to give me the words that I should say, and may it speak to hearts tonight and encourage and challenge and maybe even remind us of some things. And we just trust, Lord, that you'll send your spirit down and move amongst us. In Jesus' name, amen. The word attend means, and we've looked at some of these words, and Proverbs at times is very repetitive with some of its words. And it is important that every time they come up, we at least look at them a little bit, because they're there for a reason. They are repetitive for a reason. And if you know anything about parenting, you know that much of what you say in parenting is going to be repetitive. You're going to say the same things at times over and over and over and over, whether it is correction or it is instruction. Or it is words of encouragement, it does not matter. At times you will say the same words, the same things over and over and over. But the word attend means to listen, to regard with attention, followed by to regard with observation, and emphasis here on correspondent practice. King Solomon did not just want his son to show up when he was speaking. That'd be a low standard if that's all it was. He not only wanted him to listen while in his presence, that would be a better standard, but still not the best. King Solomon wanted his children to put into practice the things that he was teaching them, the things that he was instructing them, and the wisdom that he had. He wanted them to show up. He wanted them to listen. He wanted them to put into practice. So they have to be there, for one, in order to listen. Then they have to listen while they're there, then apply what they hear. This is what he expected. And at times, we've settled at times for low standards in our parenting. We think at times us talking our heads off and them sitting next to us is all that matters. No, listening is important. And my mom had ways when I was growing up to get my attention. She knew when I was tuning her out. She knew after she had been talking for a little bit that I had tuned her out. She could tell it on my face that I was just looking straight through her. She'd get my attention, then she'd start talking again. You want your children to listen. You want them to listen to you. We've heard terms like, I'm not talking for my health, or I'm not talking just because. I'm not just talking because I want to. You speak to be heard. And then not only to be heard, but you want those who are listening to respond in some way. More important than listening is application. That's why when you open God's word, you not only teach knowledge, you not only teach the truths in here, but you teach application. You preach application. I don't want my kids to just have a head knowledge. I want them to learn how to walk in truth. Not just to know truth, but to walk in truth. I want you to know how to walk in truth. Not just know truth, but walk in truth. That's why it's important, even you know, with the younger children, even in junior church and Sunday school and mountain movers. Application needs to be taught. Bible stories are great, but interact with them on how they can apply that lesson to their life and where they are right now. And you know what? One of the common themes of just about all the Bible stories, one of them would be obedience. So just asking the children, how could you obey more in your everyday life? Every child can relate to that. Every child will struggle with that, especially the older they get. The more of an adult they want to become, the more of in a hurry they are to become that adult, the more they're going to struggle with obedience because they have their plans at this point. They have what they want to do at this point. They have interests at this point. They have what they like at this point. They're going to struggle. And your likes and interests and things are going to begin to conflict with theirs. We call that developing a personality. The older they get, you begin to learn more of this. It is sad, but even in our churches, people know large portions of the Bible, but they don't live it. They never learn to apply it. They were taught read, but stopped at application. God did not give us his word to stop at knowing what it says, to stop at knowing of him. I mean, the Pharisees and the Sadducees did that. Those in the New Testament that sought to infiltrate the church with the law did that. When we're living under grace, they knew the law and tried telling people that they can be justified by keeping the law. But no, we're justified by grace through faith, and it is in part seeing yourself as a sinner and in need of a Savior. Knowledge is half the battle. You must comply. You must conform your life to truth. I believe the devil knows more of the word also than we do. This is half the battle. If we don't know the God of the word, we're reminded of the wall of faith in the book of Hebrews leading up to our missions conference last year. We spent, I don't know, about a month just going through some of the characters within the book of Hebrews. Not one of them had the complete revealed word of God as we do in their language, but they knew the God of the word. And they had great faith, and we read of them still, and their life still speaks to us. I'm not minimizing God's word. I'm not minimizing reading it. I'm just saying you need to know the God of the word. You need to conform to truth, not just know it. You need to apply it to your life. You need to apply it to your situation. A wrench is only as good if you pick it up in your situation, in the middle of your situation, if it calls for it. And as we were going through this morning in Sunday school, the Bible is profitable for all things. It is an essential. It is a necessity. It is needed. And it will work your situation if you allow it to work it. You can't just know that you need it. You've got to allow it to work in your situation. That's hard to do at times because we want to figure things out. But we have to allow the Word of God to work, to practice truth. And children will learn practicing truth from us more so than they will anyone else. They learn from their parents and those around them. King Solomon also says, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Incline means to lean in a moral sense, to have a propension, to be disposed. We could also use the word gravitate. King Solomon wanted his children to desire the words that he had to say. It does something for a parent when their child comes up to them and asks them for wisdom. Because sometimes a parent feels like all I'm ever doing is volunteering my wisdom. And sometimes you might wonder how much of it they're actually hearing, how much of it they're actually receiving. But when the child comes up to you and they ask you for wisdom in a situation, that tells you that they've been valuing what you've been giving them all along. And that can be an encouragement to parents, to know that they value what you have to say. King Solomon wanted them to desire wisdom. to desire knowledge, to desire understanding. If you can develop a hunger in your children for the Word of God, for wise counsel, for knowledge of God and wisdom, they will make sure that they get fed even when you're not around. We get physically hungry. So when it's time to eat, we go out in search of. If it's not in the pantry, we'll leave the house in search of. We'll go somewhere else that might have what we're looking for. One day that luxury will be gone, so you may be out and in search of in the woods, eating possum or something, out in search of. But when we get hungry, we go out in search of. We go out in search of because we have a hunger, and this hunger drives us into action to feed that appetite. But they must develop a spiritual hunger, a spiritual appetite. And you develop stronger appetites by feeding appetites. You starve the outside noise that's trying to get in by not feeding it. Then you feed your mind through what you see, hear, and read, and then it develops a hunger for God. I've seen this in my own life. The more you get into the Word of God, the more of a hunger that you'll have for it. The more hunger you'll have for study, the more hunger that you'll have for time with God. And then you'll realize that the biggest monumental waste of time that a lot of us have in our houses is the TV. It's just a monumental waste of time. Ours is very seldom on. For one, there's not much on it. It's very seldom on, and it's a waste of time. Many people don't crave the Word of God because they do not feed the appetite. They don't eat at home. They don't pig out at home. Too many Christians, and I can be guilty too, are gluttons at the buffet. Gluttons when the kids go to bed, eating late, but lack the same spiritual hunger. They don't crave God's Word. And if you want your children to crave the Word, we as parents need to crave the Word. I begin to think we have generational obesity, yet much of the time, generational spiritual giants are becoming more and more rare. The reason why is because of what we feed and what we starve. King Solomon wanted his children to crave wisdom, which came from God, to have a hunger for the things of God. In verse 21, let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart. Depart means to leave, to deviate from, to forsake, not to adhere or to follow. Your children need to learn right now that the devil will use whatever he can to access their minds. If he can control the mind, he can infiltrate the heart. He can control the heart. The devil, the great deceiver, the manipulator, he wants to let your children get a flash of something. He wants to let them catch a glimpse of something. Something that their flesh would desire. Then the devil can lead them down a path to go in search of it. We have to always be on guard for our children. We've got to always be on guard for what they see, for what they hear. We don't want them to depart from good and right, what is good to set their eyes upon, for what is garbage. Sometimes people think that you have to be possessed by the devil to be controlled by him. No. If he influences you and influences your decisions, he is controlling you at your will. There's a difference between by your will and against your will. See, when the devil indwells someone and takes over possession of them, they do things against their will. The devil has power over them. The devil's strength, if you think of it, think of the maniac of Gadara. The devil was inside of him. The devil controlled him, possessed him, and he had strength that was beyond him. No born-again believer can be possessed, but any believer can be controlled when they surrender their will to do right and they choose to do wrong. And the devil wants to use us. The devil wants to control us. But if we're saved, we must surrender our will. We must choose to accept the help of Christ and not be used of the devil. The devil drops seeds. They look good, and he'll present it as something small. He'll make sure it looks good. He'll make sure it catches the eye. He'll make sure that he presents it as something that is small, something innocent. Just a sip, just a smoke, just a click, just a thought, just one overreaction. The devil wants you to piece by piece pick up what he's dropping until he's leading you around in bondage, following what he's laying around for you. We're trying to catch one of our ducks that got out. We've been trying to catch that thing for a couple weeks. It's down at the neighbor's pond. You know what we're doing? We're setting stuff out, trying to lead it into a trap. That's what the devil does. He's got a trap somewhere, and he's putting stuff out, trying to lead you into the trap that he has for you. And piece by piece, we pick stuff up, and if we're not careful, we're on our way into a bind. And that's how the devil works. It's something small. It looks good for food. That forbidden fruit, it looks good. It looks good to the eye. It looks like it's good for food. Looks like it tastes good. Looks like it'd be all right. It's just a little piece of fruit. We must be on guard for our children at this young and most vulnerable years of their life. Then King Solomon says, keep them in the midst of thine heart. Something struck me here. I was thinking about that. Why the middle of the heart? Why the midst of the heart? Why the middle of the heart? The word midst means... The phrase in the midst often signifies involved in, surrounded, or overwhelmed by, or in the thickest part, or in the depths of. You want it deeply planted in the heart, not just on the surface. You want deep roots in your plants out in the ground. You want deep roots. We get a lot of wind up here on top of this hill. I mean, you want deep roots. When we plant our stuff out there, we want deep roots. And every time there's a windstorm, we still got to go out and stand stuff up. But at least it didn't get plucked up from out of the ground. You want deep roots. You want it deeply planted in the heart, not just the surface, but deeply planted directly in the middle, the very core of your heart. If it's there, it's harder for the devil to try and rob ideas from you. It takes longer for the devil to get it from you. You're many, many steps from being where you don't need to be and doing what you don't need to be doing. Saying what you don't need to be saying. It needs to be in the midst. It needs to be deeply planted and firmly planted within walls, within barriers, deep within your heart. Not soon to be plucked up and carried off by the evil one. I was thinking if the devil can't rob you, he will use someone else to. And he don't use obvious characters at times. If a masked gunman came to our house tonight, he'd probably get shot. But the devil would not do that if he were trying to get to you. He wants to use someone that you trust. Sadly, this is part of the reason you have to keep your enemies close and your friends closer. We see an enemy from afar and we make preparations, but the devil knows if he can get to your friends and he can get to your family, those who you trust, then he can get to you. Many crimes are committed today by opportunity by people that they trust. Many kidnappings. It was somebody within their circle. Somebody within their circle of friends. Somebody within their circle of family. A gardener. Somebody who was trusted. That's why sometimes friends and family can be worse than being around strangers. Sometimes they know too much about you, and the devil knows he can use them. We must be careful. Sadly, too many parents are too concerned about their kids' enemies and who picks on them, and I'm not saying don't give any thought to that, but remember, they get hurt there, so they don't need any help fleeing from that. The devil uses the bully, no doubt, but the devil wants to use their friends. better watch their friends. You better pick up on the devil within their friends. And the devil's going to make sure they're there. The devil's going to try to put the wrong people in their lives. He's going to do it. And he's going to try and get to them that way, through the wrong people. We've got to watch out for it. The reason why, and we'll reread verses 20 through 21. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Verse 21, let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart. Now to verse 22. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. He's saying, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings, for they are life. The opposite of life is death. No, nobody wants this for their children. Either an untimely physical death or to depart from this earth spiritually dead. Nobody desires this. Sadly, I've been at funerals for our youth students in their 20s, and their mothers there. It's tough that they don't, that this was not their plan. They go back to the birth of their child. That was not their plan, to only have them for just 20-something years and lose them to addiction. Or to depart from this earth spiritually dead. No, nobody wants this for their children. They are life unto them that find them, King Solomon says. God will make sure that we have examples of wisdom. Do you find them? A gentleman that was very close to me when I was growing up, he passed away probably about 6-7 months ago, and I talked about that shortly after it happened. It was on a Wednesday night, and the Lord gave me a message about being a testimony, about being an example, and what's your legacy? What are you leaving behind? Because after he had passed, I just went through all the things that he had taught me when I was growing up and not having a dad, about the ministry, about soul winning. I talked about how, his heart that he had for people. I had talked about, drinking out of dirty glasses with him. I had talked about going into filthy houses with him. I had talked about sitting down on filthy furniture with him. I talked about those things. He showed me what that looked like, to be more concerned about a soul than the condition of one's home, than the condition of the glass, and just trust that the Lord's going to protect you when you drink out of it. He taught me those things, and I was blessed to have him as somebody that I could go to for wisdom. His wife just sent me some of his books through the mail. I appreciate that. Some of the books that he had, those were things that meant something to him, those books. And I'm thankful for those. The Lord is going to give us examples of wisdom. Do you find them? Do you mark those who are wise and get counsel from them? Do you mark those who are wise and lend your ear to what they have to say? There's life there. The last phrase, in health to all their flesh. Good health and long life. But you must heed wisdom. You got to heed wisdom. As we've said many a times through Proverbs, and we'll say it a lot more, wisdom avoids, and knowledge finds out the hard way. We can have a good life, better than most. We can have a healthy life, better than most, and live a longer life than most if we heed wisdom. A lot of people didn't. A lot of people refused wisdom. And like I said, I've been at their funerals. Were it not for God's grace, there'd have been people at mine when I was away from God, from not heeding wisdom. But I'm glad I can look back and be thankful for the grace of God in my life, and then turning back to wisdom once again. life's been a whole lot better. A thousand times better. I would rather live 100 years on this earth with Christ than another day without Him. I've been there. I don't want to shun wisdom. I don't want to do that. I've been there. I know where it takes you. I don't want that. Good health and long life, but you must heed wisdom. Next week, again, we'll spend the whole message, I believe, on Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. That's a big one. We'll look at that next week. Let's pray. Lord, as we come before you once again this evening, we thank you for this time that we've had in your word. I thank you, Lord, for this study here in the book of Proverbs. Help us, Lord, to constantly see the value of wisdom, the value of understanding, the value of seeking wisdom, the value of begging you for wisdom. So many times, even in my everyday life, I look back and I make a decision or I do something and I say, that probably could have turned out a little bit better. Or I handle something not as good as I probably could have. And I can't help but think, Lord, if I had more wisdom, things could be perhaps even better than they are now. Just ask you, Lord, to give us wisdom. Give those in here tonight wisdom. We need your wisdom. In Jesus' name, amen.